All right, my hand is out of a cast. I can clap with two hands. But we're going to check out the sound of one hand clapping. What's that all about? And a lot more. This is Father Voskin. I am a priest of the Armenian Church. And I connect the dots between the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, and everything else in between. And I'm inviting you for this ride. This is episode number 404 of The Next Step.
Hi, this is Susie from epostle.net, welcoming you, our worldwide community, to a new episode of The Next Step with Father Voskin. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. And most importantly, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Well, welcome again. Welcome, first-timers, whatever the case may be. So good to have you with us. It is a beautiful day here in Southern California. I hope it's the same wherever you may be. And at least for the next few minutes, you just kick back and relax, and we take some time to share some ideas. A lot of things in the news. I mean, there is like the Academy Awards. Yeah. Academy Awards. What else is more important than who's wearing what and who's wearing who? That became the big question this year. Who's wearing who? You have to think about that for a moment, and then you figure it out and you go, oh, big deal, right? And then there's all the different awards that were given. Big news. Academy Awards, and then it was Super Tuesday. Big news, right? Who's winning elections? Well, let me tell you what the big news is for me today. My hand is out of the sling. Well, it's big news for me. I mean, you know, it's been like 6 weeks. 6 weeks it's been in this sling. Now, I'm going to talk about it in a few minutes. We're going to talk about, actually, a Cohen. And talk a little bit about Cohen and about the universe, about multiple universes and how these Cohens can exist in our lives, and particularly one Cohen, which since the very beginning, right after my shoulder surgery, I went to this Cohen that I had learned many years ago. What is the sound of one hand clapping? No, don't answer it. Please don't answer it. We're going to be talking about that Cohen coming up in a few minutes. But anyway, didn't need to start off with that news. I don't know. You know, for a priest, it's very difficult, the right hand being in a sling. Because think about it. It's your blessing hand. It's what you make the sign of the cross with. Tie your right hand up. Now try to make the sign of the cross with your left. Which way do you go? Do you go backwards, forwards, upside down? Inside out. I know for some people these things matter. It didn't for me. I just did it. And there were some times where I'd go my left shoulder and sometimes I'd go on my right shoulder. But you know, for some people, these things really matter. And I guess that's the starting point, because we're going to talk about one hand clapping. We're going to be talking about multiple universes. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. But I do want to talk about the pettiness of this, because I could not believe this. I was on some of the websites, actually, they opened up from the diocese, and I was listening to people talking and sharing information about the church, and I realized why Armadoxy is so popular. I'm realizing why people are tuning in to us and to Armadoxy, because basically there's relevancy, and let's just say it contrasted sharply with what's out there as far as the Armenian Church. I want to talk, maybe I could even expand it. Let's not pick just on the Armenian Church, but on traditional churches. But on this formula church. And it's an interesting one because, you know, we are in the week of the unrighteous judge. And that's a parable from Christ. We find it in the Gospel of Luke. In fact, it is kind of a confusing parable, so much so that the author, the evangelist Luke, gives a preface to this parable by saying that, and Jesus spoke this parable so that they ought never to stop praying, or they should pray unceasingly, because the parable itself is confusing. That Jesus said. It's about a guy who's just not scared of anything, just a vicious man, and he gets worn out by a widow who just comes every day demanding that he, as the judge, take care of her trial. And so the bottom line is that he finally wears out and he says, okay, I will see to your trial. And it's an instruction that Jesus gives us to never be tired of praying. And unfortunately, a lot of times we look at that, and if you didn't have that preface in there, you would think that the story is about, well, Jesus talking about, wear God out. If you say it enough, I want that, and you say it a few more times, God will get tired and he'll give it to you. And it reminds me of, like, if you have kids, or if you've been a kid, that, let's use that example, because I think we all could relate to that one better, right? If you've been a kid, you remember the shopping carts? You'd go shopping with mom, and you'd go down the cereal aisle, and you'd say, I want this. There's so many different things you want. And what is it that you want? You want the Cocoa Puffs. You want the sugar frosted flakes, and all the things that are bad for you. And if you look at the list of things that we make up, it's far from what our parents want for us. And it's the same kind of idea. We think of God as this magical Santa Claus who's going to give us everything that we ask in our prayers. So it's interesting that this comes up during this week of the unrighteous judge, because, well, like I said, I opened up this site and I'm watching these videos, I'm listening to these things, and really, I guess it took my interest. I couldn't believe that people were still talking about this. I mean, we saw priests, we saw people of the church talking about things like, is cremation okay? Yeah, is cremation okay? And somehow God wants you to be buried in the ground instead of burning your body, because that comes out of Eastern religions. Hey, folks, guess what? There's maybe about at least here in the States, there's about a $10,000 difference. And that's a big burden to put on the bereaved, right? And technically, if you are one who subscribes to the Christian faith, well, that body is no longer useful after death, right? So what are we talking about? Anyway, they were engaging in this conversation. And one after another, I'm watching these people talking about irrelevant, inconsequential things that I didn't think that they still existed. You know, it's like that, how many angels can sit on the head of a pin? You know, there's this little question that people throw out in theology all the time, right? Well, if angels have no form, if they have no body, then how many angels can sit on the head of a pin? Well, I guess infinite, but your mind can't handle that infinite. We can't handle 2, 3. We can't handle 100. And then we talk about infinite, and then we go into these whole things. And meanwhile, there's people that are hurting. You know, we got an extra day this year. We got February 29th, leap day. We got an extra day. And I'm trying to think, like, what do we do with that extra day? And I happened to be on the net, and I was following my dear friend Gabriel Starring, and he's out there at Chad in the refugee camps. Wow. He's doing something positive with that extra day. And what do we do with the time that God has given us? And that's really what Lent is all about, isn't it? It's figuring out what we're doing with the life that God has given us. Are we doing the best that we can? And certainly when I sit in front of this microphone and when we start doing this show about Armadoxy, it all comes together, because I look at really how foolish some of these things are. I mean, there was discussion, seriously, there is discussion on the internet. And they've made videos about this from priests of the Armenian Church talking about how do you calculate the 40 days You know, after someone passes away, 40 days later, there's a service. It's called the Karsung, the 40th day. And there's certain prayers that go along, and it corresponds to Jesus for 40 days after his resurrection. He ascended into heaven. And so there is a unique numbering system on how to figure it out. And people have lose sleep over this, you know. You can't do it on the 39th day. You can't commemorate on the 41st day. It has to be on the 40th day. Well, do you figure that 40th day from the day of death or the day of the funeral? You know, many times these funeral homes get backed up. And so it may be 10 days after the death that the funeral takes place. Now, lo and behold, now you're at the 50th day. It's a 40 plus 10. And people are consumed with these kind of things. You know, it's what it's like. It's like arranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. Yeah, that's what the church is doing. They're arranging deck chairs on the Titanic. It's sinking. It's falling down. People aren't coming to church. People are far away from their faith. There's issues that need to be resolved. There is war. There is famine. The body of Christ is absent from all of these things. Where is the body of Christ in the midst of all of these disasters that are happening? Yeah, it's out there. It's setting up the chairs on the deck. Just making sure that everything looks really nice. You know, everything looks really nice. And it comes down to a basic understanding of what do you believe that Christ is. And I realized that this week I realized, as I was going through some of these people talking and everything, it comes down to this very basic idea of what do you understand Christ to be. And if you understand that Christ came to give you eternal life, so that his whole message and his whole being here on earth was a preface for you to have this eternal life, then that's one thing. But if you understand him coming for peace on earth, goodwill towards men, in other words, giving us a structure and a language by which we can get along with one another and we can become the people that we need to be. In other words, God's creation and God's paradise actualized, then that's a different story, isn't it? Then you start working. Then you start understanding that it's not about me. How do I get into heaven? But it's about how do we work together, making the presence of God real in this world? How do we extend our hands to one another? How do we not worry about are the deck chairs straight? Because the Titanic's going to go down, and when somebody finds it many years later, we want to make sure that the chairs are still there, right? No, it's understanding that we got to keep that Titanic up. We got to get it up out of that water. Prevent it from sinking, preventing it from the disaster that's ahead. And when you look at the other day, we were watching the Academy Awards, the final few moments, and Leonardo DiCaprio. I like this guy because we had the same drama coach, by the way. Yes, I'll take credit for that. Mr. Weinsberg at John Marshall High School. Anyway, I know Leonardo DiCaprio, he dropped out, but I did hear Mr. Weinsberg in an interview right when Leonardo was getting famous, and he made the comment that he was his coach. And Mr. Weinsberg is a very, very important part of my learning experience, and I was glad before his death I had a chance to see him once in an airport of all places, and we got to exchange a few minutes. But we were watching the Academy Awards the other night, and Leonardo DiCaprio did mention about the problems that the Earth is facing. And of course, inside the Academy Awards was that whole issue of the blacks, and is it just for whites and everything? And along with that, we had other people coming and screaming to us about world issues and politics. And outside, of course, you've got your Trump people and you've got your politicians screaming about this and that. And you wonder, okay, you got this whole world that's in a bunch of different disarray. And now, who are you in that whole equation? Are you a standbyer? Do you just stand by and watch it as Nero did and just kind of play your fiddle? Or do you actually engage? And if you do engage, if you do get involved, what's the language that you speak? Are you militant? Are you revolutionary? Do you come in, across by handing out more flowers and love? What is the language that you speak? And obviously, Jesus does give us a language by which we can speak. It is a language of revolution. It is one that employs a weapon known as love, a weapon that has not yet been tried. Yes, every revolution needs a weapon by which you bring about that revolution. And usually when we talk about weapons, we think of things that destroy people. And Jesus gives you another weapon which has not been tried. Martin Luther King Jr., he came close to it. He tried it. It actually got him steps forward. But after his assassination, what happened is that you see that people could not continue that momentum for a variety of reasons. Maybe the loss of hope, hopelessness, maybe because another leader of his caliber did not emerge. People do need leadership. Whatever the case, I mean, it still needs to be tried. And there is a small little place in the world that has tried that. That's what's interesting about this. And we have that. And that's what Armodoxy is about. This small little landlocked country called Armenia. Yeah, there is no weapon besides the weapon of love. And it has been stored in these great, great monasteries. And wherever you go, you see them. These incredible monasteries and these incredible structures that have been lifted up to the heavens. And you see the prayer of the people. And it has not only been stored, it's not just a museum, but it has been employed, yes, by great thinkers, by monks who have prayed, but more importantly, by a people who've had no other. Actually, you look at the history, there's no other reason why these people should be alive, but they are alive, and they've survived, and not only survived, they actually live. They actually engage with life. And that's the strength of Armodoxy. I'm talking about grandmas, grandpas, people who've gotten down on their knees and understood that the power is not only within, but it's without. It's not only without, it's also within. And combine this together. Much like St. Nectarios has said, seek not the kingdom of God outside of you, but from within. Yes, it is within. It's also without. It's all around us. It's the field that Jesus talks about. It's the field that the man has to have. It's outside of you and it's inside of you. It's the pearl that Jesus talks about. It's outside of you and inside of you. It's the kingdom of God. And that kingdom is incredible if you tap into it. That's why Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Seek ye first the kingdom, and all else will come to you. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? It's a guarantee by Christ. You're looking for the wrong things out there. All else, you want that all else, first seek the kingdom. And that kingdom is right there. Anyway, that is the preface for today's show. I'm going to come back and we're going to be talking about, well, this guy that's on the road to healing and the sound of one hand clapping. What is that all about? What is a koan all about? We're going to be talking a little bit about that in a few minutes. So this happens to be the week of the judge, as I mentioned, and it's about prayer. So I was trying to think, what prayer song can we do? And there were so many. I had so many different choices today for the song. There were some fun ones too, including the ink spots. There were some beautiful ones with Celine Dion and Andrea Bocelli. Really beautiful. Anyway, I've chosen something different. You know me. Okay, it has to be different, right? This is Anushka Shankar, Prayer in Passing. Enjoy. is Anushka Shankar on the sitar. Prayer in Passing is the name of that song. Kind of picked it out for this week of Lent, a very special one. And sometimes we think that prayer is about putting together a bunch of words and lists and just talking. Sometimes also prayer is about listening, yes, but it's also about just feeling. You know, it's not just an on and off switch about talking and listening. It's also about feeling. And I hope that this song kind of got you into that feel. It's one of those songs where you can just let go. Let the flow take you. Close your eyes and just relax for a few minutes. Kind of empty yourself. And that in itself is a prayer. Music is so beautiful, it does that. Yesterday was Desi Arnaz's birthday. Okay, here's an obscure one for you, okay? Yesterday was Desi Arnaz's birthday. He would have been 99 years old. So I found that out. So, of course, I set my Pandora to Desi Arnaz Radio. If you haven't set your... It's one of those things I think about, like, how many people have Desi Arnaz Radio on their Pandora? Anyway, if you can set it, just fantastic Cuban music. And that music had me up and around, and I was moving around, and, oh, I won't tell you all the things that we were doing to that music. It was fantastic. It was just like, it brings life. It sparks life into you. And just to hear Desi Arnaz singing Babalu. Last night, we even downloaded a few clips from YouTube and watched. Just an incredible, incredible talent. And music does that to us. Anyway, this was Anushka Shankar on the sitar. It's called Prayer in Passing. There will be a link on today's show notes. Do check it out, as well as all of her wonderful, wonderful music. I think I'll even put a link to Desi Arnaz, okay? Been teasing you enough. The sound of one hand clapping. This is a koan, and a koan is, well, it's actually a riddle of a sort. It's used in Buddhism. It's a means by which people meditate, and it's a question, and there are many, many koans. You can look them up. I used to have these books. We were just talking last night about, like, unfortunately, libraries are not the places where people hang out anymore. If you want to know what a koan is right now, you go Google search it. Back in my time, back in the old ancient times, when we were alive back then, we used to go to the library and just hang out. And one of my favorite areas was the philosophy, the religion section. And there were books. Many times we'd just sit there and in itself, these would be koans because you'd sit and go through these books. And it would take your mind into some incredible places. And that's what really koan is intended to do. It's not to be answered. It gives you a question, and it is a means by which you meditate. Okay? And yeah, you know, you can take your hand, lift up your hand, and just get your fingers to hit the palm of your hand, and you say, hey, look at me! This is one hand clapping. No, no, no. That is not what a koan is supposed to do. In fact, those of you who have been following my Bible studies, you know that I throw out koans all the time as means of meditation, as means by which it gets you to focus in on what the Bible story is about what Christ is trying to teach. And these are not things that you need to be scared of. Rather, these are tools. And that's what a koan is. It's basically a tool. Koan, yeah, sorry, yes, K-O-A-N. Yes, I'll put a link on today's show notes to that word as well, too, in case it happens to be a first time that you're hitting it, because it'd be cool if we could spell it with a Q, too, right? I like that. I like things that are spelled with Q. By the way, off the subject, you know, when I was in school back in the ancient days, you know, you had to follow Q all the time. Every time you saw a Q, there'd have to be a U after it. Quick, quit, queen. And then we heard about a country named Iraq. It's got a Q, but no U. Then we heard a place about a place called Qatar. Q without a U. And we started hearing about all these different places that had no U's. Okay, tell me about it. Somebody explain that to me. Anyway, that's another story. Koan. K-O-A-N. See, I told you I'm digressing today. You can tell I'm feeling good right now. Okay, let's talk about koans. Zapig.
Zapik, zapik, ziranik. Unem tatik upapik. Tatikas chashe patrastum. Papikas tsahe kotratum. Iskies nastats tsaritak. Nakarumem napastak. Zapik, zapik, ziranik.
What is the sound of one hand clapping? Okay, it's a koan. It's a, here, let me read you the actual definition of a koan. It's a paradoxical anecdote or riddle used in Zen Buddhism to demonstrate the inadequacy of logical reasoning and to provoke enlightenment. I remember in college, one of my Zen Buddhism classes, yes, at USC, okay, now I'm not on some farm anyway. Yes, at USC, took a Zen Buddhism course. And I remember it was a, they gave us a koan for the entire semester. So on the first day, they introduced us to the koan. And it was something that we had to think about. And it was something about, if I remember right, it was the question if all the Buddhas exist and who is the oldest or something like that. It was one of those paradoxical situations. Like if you're standing with a bunch of 1,000 Buddhas and they're all in there and who's the oldest? And I can't remember exactly what it was. But what it did is for the entire semester, it was an ongoing riddle. So in different places that you were, we would even go to the monastery or we would be in class, we would be in Zazen, and that would be a reoccurring theme that would come up. And then at the end of the semester, we were invited to write about it, and you realize that it's not a logical thing. It's your words cannot explain that. It's exactly what we say during the Holy Badarak. We thank God. We say, "Vor ivere kanzamenain midas Yevasbanus." God who is greater than our thoughts and our words. And basically the koan points you in that direction. That you're not going to get this with logic, okay? There is no answer. What is the sound of one hand clapping? I'm choosing this because for the last 6 weeks, my hand has been in a sling. And ever since they've put it in a sling, I've had to deal with another side of my life, which I've never really thought about. In my head, for instance, I just figured that I would pick up a pen with my left hand and start writing. The first time I tried that, I looked at it 2 minutes, 3 minutes later, and I could not decipher what I had written. And I felt like, wow, in my head, I think that I can do it. What's the hard part? I mean, I've written all my life with my right hand. Why can't I just pick up my left hand and make the same figures? I couldn't. And guess what? 6 weeks later, I still can't. Maybe a little bit of improvement, but I doubt anybody could tell. Yeah, 5 minutes later, you'd look at what I've written. I could not. I'm the one who wrote it. I'd look at my notes and I'd say, what is this? Seriously. Basic things like numbers, letters. I got down to printing very tiny to be able to decipher something. I've had to deal with, as a priest, making the sign of the cross and being criticized. Hey, you can't make the sign of the cross with your left hand. Seriously, I'm very serious about this. Because when you're making it, try it today. Try to make the, put your right hand behind your back and try to make the sign of the cross. Which way do you go? Left or right? Okay, not a big deal. Because you're next steppers, because you understand that Armodoxy is the faith without all that hoopla, right? But for people who are engaged in daily life, this is a big thing. Is it on the seventh day? Is it on the 40th day? Do you go to the right side? Do you go to the left side first? Who cares? I guess God does, right? God is keeping tally up in heaven. Uh-huh. Let's see, Voskin is sitting over there, and he made the cross with his left hand. And guess what? He went to the wrong side first. Okay, let's give him a few demerits over there. And people think like this? I guess they do. I guess there is a group of people that do think about these things because they certainly are consumed by it. But okay, here it is. For the last 6 weeks, my hand's been in a sling, and I've had to deal with all kinds of things, as mundane as that, as well as some of the bigger things of just not being able to physically do the things that I've wanted to do. Even my driving, it was something my doctor made the major mistake of telling me in front of my wife that you can't drive for 6 weeks. Major mistake for me. Of course, it made my wife very happy because she had to chauffeur me around. And it was great. I have to admit, at the beginning, I was upset, but it was great, you know. I got to sit in the passenger seat, kind of thought, was able to talk, was able to look around and not being white-knuckled through the whole thing, like white-knuckled in the sense of holding that steering wheel when you drive through Los Angeles. Of course, she was a mess because she had to hold that steering wheel and do the brake and the gas and everything with nervous Richard Dreyfuss, me, next to her. But okay, you make do with what life gives you. And okay, 6 weeks later, the physical pain, the physical discomfort is gone. I'm out of a sling. And from the very beginning of this journey, since it went into a sling, since my operation, this little koan came to me because it was something that I remembered back in college days. And in fact, I remember a dear friend of mine, Ara, we were talking about this several years later, and he was sharing with me that he was trying to engage people in this conversation of what is the sound of one hand clapping, talking about the koan and enlightenment and trying to take people higher. And he says one young lady just stood up and put her hand straight up and started clapping with one hand, basically taking her fingers and snapping it against her palm. And yeah. What happens? It was we do that, right? We do that. Now, do you remember last week we were talking about multiple universes? Well, in that discussion, I shared with you that there is a possibility that theoretical physics now we have scientists who will measure everything, but theoretical physics is more in tune with philosophy and religion, because there is a leap of faith that you need to take at some point. Not everything works out. And there's these ideas of field theories, of unified field theories, and what happens when you have quantum mechanics going into it. And a wonderful book that I've been reading, it's called The Accidental Universe by Lightman. I'll put a link on today's show notes. And he's explaining that as we are developing, as we are evolving, you know, our thought processes and the things that we are learning. And certainly today, the general feeling is that there are multiple universes. Basically, we live in a universe with its set of rules. Now, can you imagine that there is a universe out there that has different set of rules? Perhaps gravity doesn't behave in the same way that it behaves in our universe. Perhaps rather than three or four dimensions, there are seven dimensions or perhaps 37 dimensions. What are those 37 dimensions? You cannot think of those 37 dimensions. Why? Because we are used to being in this four-dimensional universe of length, height, width, and time, right? We're in a continuum of time, space-time. And so 4, 5, 6, 7, we probably can't think. Now, science fiction writers have done that through the ages. Science fiction writers have done that. And we see that in many of the Star Wars movies. We saw it last year beautifully done in, I forgot what the name of that movie was. It was another Interstellar about how they went through these time warps. And so science fiction writers have thought about these questions of multiple dimensions beyond the 4 and 5 that we know or we talk about. Twilight Zone, Rod Serling. There is the fifth dimension beyond that of sight and sound, he used to say. That fifth dimension. What is that fifth dimension? It's the place where light and shadow meet. Wow, interesting, right? Okay, so when we talk about multiple universes, imagine universes where the same laws that we are accustomed to, in other words, if I take my pen and I drop it, it falls to the earth. Imagine if it didn't. You can't imagine it because we are accustomed to that. In the same way, we put a question mark at the end of a sentence, we expect an answer. What is the sound of one hand clapping? We expect an answer. That's a question. Now imagine a universe, imagine a system in which a question mark doesn't really beckon or call for an answer. That's what I'm talking about. That's where we are with this koan. It's not really asking you for an answer. No, it's not asking you to put your fingers together and clap on the palm. It's asking, what is the sound of one hand clapping? And even by saying asking, that word asking means that there has to be an answer. No, let's not even use that. It's just a statement. What is the sound of one hand clapping? And in that sense, I'm going to read this story. Okay, let me share this story. It comes to us. I'll have a link on today's show notes to it. It is the master of Kenin Temple was Mukarai, Silent Thunder. He had a little protege named Toyo, who was only 12 years old. Toyo saw the older disciples visit the master's room each morning and evening to receive instruction on Sazen, or personal guidance, in which they were given koans to stop mind wandering. Okay, so you don't want your mind wandering. If you've ever done meditation, if you've ever sat in Zazen, you know, it's easy to let your mind wander anywhere. The koan brings you back down to where you're supposed to be. Toyo wished to do Zazen also. Wait a while, said Mukarai. You are too young. But the child insisted, so the teacher finally consented. In the evening, little Toyo went to the proper time to the threshold of Mukarai's Sazen room. He struck the gong to announce his presence, bowed in respectfully three times outside the door, and went to sit before the master in respectful silence. You can hear the sound of two hands when they clap together, said Mukarai. Now show me the sound of one hand. Toyo bowed and went to his room and considered the problem. From his window, he could hear the music of the geisha. Ah, I have it, he said. The next evening, when his teacher asked him to illustrate the sound of one hand, Toyo began to play the music of the geishas. No, no, said Mukarai. That will never do. That is not the sound of one hand. You've not got it at all. Thinking that such music might interrupt, Toyo moved his abode to a quiet place. He meditated again. What can the sound of one hand be? He happened to hear some water dripping. I have it, imagined Toyo. When he next appeared before his teacher, Toyo imitated dripping water. What is that? Said Mukarai. That is the sound of dripping water, but not the sound of one hand. Try again. In vain, Toyo meditated to hear the sound of one hand. He heard the sighing of the wind. The sound was rejected. He heard the cry of the owl. That also was refused. The sound of one hand was not the locus. For more than 10 times, Toyo visited Mukarai with different sounds. All were wrong. For almost a year, he pondered what the sound of one hand might be. At last, little Toyo entered true meditation and transcended all sounds. I could collect no more, he explained later. So I reached the soundless sound. Toyo had realized the sound of one hand. Wild, right? In that taking a while, what happens is you give your chance, you give yourself a chance to ponder, to really focus in, and allow it. It's that there isn't a sound. Okay, at the end there wasn't a sound, right? But to get to that point, it means freeing yourself from all of the prejudices that you have, prejudices that you might harbor, but also prejudices that come in from our universe. And that's why I brought in the discussion of the multiple universe. This is fascinating for me, because in the multiple universe, which theoretical physics is now saying is the way, we are one of many universes. Right now, in our times, we've been looking out into space and saying this is the universe. No, this is a universe. And now we're talking about multiverse, that there are other dimensions, there are other universes out there. But it requires us to relieve ourselves of the prejudices, of the way of thinking, of the lines that we are following. And think about that for a moment. Isn't that what Lent is all about? Isn't that the 40-day cycle of Lent? We get built up into a life, and we forget about that there is a purity. There is the kingdom of God in front of us. That's why Jesus, when he instructs us, seek first God's kingdom, and all else will follow. Well, what is he saying? Relieve yourself of the burden of everything that's around you. The other day I was working with a gentleman, and he confessed that he had everything and he lost. And in his confession, he talked about all the material goods and wealth that he had, including the beauty around him of a life. And he lost it all. And I thought to myself, yeah, you know, what can you do with material wealth? All you can do with it is lose it. It has no value in itself. When we talk about, I have $1 million. What is $1 million? It's paper. That $1 million has value when we start using it. So too with life, when you start using it. And really all of these things, whether it's a koan, whether it's meditation, whether it's the Lenten season, these are all things that are supposed to direct us. So that when you think about the one hand clapping, it's not about hearing that sound. It's not about that emptiness either. It's not about making the sign of the cross with your left hand or your right hand. It's understanding that you are part of the collective. And put away your prejudices. Now, what will that benefit us? Well, think about this. Something as simple and yet so difficult to achieve as peace. Right now, why can't we achieve peace? Because it's not in our definitions. You know, our diocese published a book called In Defense of the Armenian Church. And on the cover is a sword and a shield. Why are we defending faith with articles of war, articles of destruction? Why aren't we defending faith with love? Well, because it's not in our vocabulary. The word defense conjures up these images of defending with strength and with might, rather than the inner strength that we each possess. Now, to get to that point, you need to relieve yourself of the prejudices that we have. You need to start talking in terms of strength and might that we all possess within our heart, not at our hips in the guns and the swords that we hold. And this is the path that Christ invites us to follow. This is basically what I believe Armodoxy is all about. Why the Armenian people, despite all the difficulties, all the troubles that they have, this is why I think they have arrived safe and sound and have the ability to produce, but will lose it and are losing it because we've lost sight of that koan. We've gone away. We've strayed from where we should be. And think about it. That's how simple it is really to get back on that track. That's what Lent is, right? 40 days out of the 366, so that the 326 in front of you becomes more meaningful. Yes, I accounted for the leap day too. It's all about living in harmony here in this world. And that's why I reject these people who come and tell me that, you know, Christ is all about the afterlife. Yes, there is an afterlife. I certainly believe it. But it's not my business. Set your mind on God's kingdom and all else will come to you. You want to know about the afterlife? Definitely. Let God worry about it. We need to worry about what's in our life right now, in the here and now. And let me be blunt about it. We are in trouble. It's not just what they tell you on the Academy Awards. It's what you see all around you. It needs love and compassion to be the swords and the weapons of the day. And you're invited to that. It's once you understand that it's the sound of one hand clapping. Let Susie make her announcements. I'll be back in a couple minutes with some exciting stuff.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, we have a new lady that's been helping us at St. Peter. Her name is Ella, and you probably know her or are familiar with her name. If you look closely at our Facebook page at St. Peter Armenian Church Glendale, you'll notice a new signature by Ella. And what she's doing is she's taking a lot of the material that we've produced over the last several years, particularly the podcasts, in particular the Lenten Journey series, and she's repackaged them, redeveloped them, and put them out there. And so we've got a brand new group of people that are being exposed to this wealth of information that we have, including myself, because I've forgotten all this stuff. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about right now, because there is so much out there on Epostle, including the Lenten Journey series, three of them, including one that you might have forgotten about, the Sun Sash. Those are 365 small little messages. It's once around the sun, and it's a sash around the sun. 365 for each of the days of the years, messages. And we also have the next step. And what I'm going to ask you today is, as Susie makes the request every week for your support and your donations, what I'd like to ask you to is also to help us out in a different way. There are a few ways that you can help out. One of them, of course, through your monetary donations. Another way is to get this word out. You know, there's something to be said about you personally passing this along. There's a new series that we're doing. It's called AC 101. And the strength of that series, there's thousands of people that are watching those videos. We produce those once a week. And I'll make sure that there's a link on today's show notes. This week's should be exciting. I haven't seen this week's yet. It'll probably come out by the time you get this next step. But anyway, Adam Musoyan is doing that. He's just an incredible talent behind his computer. So he puts these together. But last week we put one out, and this week we're going to be talking about, I won't even tell you. You'll have to wait and see. Anyway, AC 101, that's been coming out and is bringing in a whole group of people. But the strength of that is that people are sharing it. So that's how we're getting these thousands and thousands and thousands of followers. People are sharing it on their Facebook. They're sharing it via email and different means. And that's what I'm going to ask you. That's another way of supporting us. Get the next step out. Write something about it. Talk about it. Get the discussion going. This is now 8 years that we've been doing this. And there's just a wealth of information. Now, here's the final way. And this occurred to me this week, and I do need the help. If you want to really help out, I can use some clerical help. And by that, I mean somebody to go through the wealth of information and start inventorying and indexing them. It's a relatively painless process, unless you have a lot of pain in hearing my voice. But it's, you can find all the stuff on the internet. But I could give you the exact directions. It's basically filling out an Excel spreadsheet with the information that is out there from these Epostle podcasts. So it's a small little thing. If you're interested, if you have some time, I would say a few hours a week, even a few days a week, whatever you can give. It is your donation to this cause and this ministry. Just drop me a line at feedback@epostle.net, and I can give you some of the information of what's required and what we're looking for. It's, like I said, it's pretty fun doing it too. If you can fill out an Excel spreadsheet, you'll be able to do this. Anyway, I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. On behalf of the wonderful crew who put today's show together, I want to invite you to join us at our website, inissues.org, as well as our Facebook pages, and check out the St. Peter page on Facebook, because there's all kinds of Lenten journey secrets, including some recipes. Yeah, you're wondering what you're going to be making tonight? What can you do on a vegan diet? A lot. There's a lot of cool pictures, too. For the wonderful crew who put today's show together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off by one top minutes.